well, this will be a good day. This will be a good learning day, a good day to throw some things out there that we can just talk about, like water, right? Oh, we're going to talk water policy? It's going to get deep. I didn't mean that. That's a joke, but I guess no pun intended there. And then we're going to talk about the proper role of state government. And as one of our guests kind of joked, we only have an hour, huh? Yeah, there's some things to cover. Wiley Gault is with us here, Senate District 39 from Martinsdale. We'll talk about the Montana Environmental Policy Act. There's an attempt to put some guardrails on it, make some changes to make it flow a little better. Senate President Matt Regeer is with us as well, Senate District 5 out of Kalispell. And we'll get into the role of government in our lives, so to speak. It's Capital Recap today, the GOP edition, or the More Power Hour on Voices of Montana. Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. I appreciate you being here. We're 2 decades strong and working on 3. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana, you know, property taxes, a Medicaid reauthorization. That came across the Senate yesterday. An hour-plus debate on the floor. Pretty good debate, too. Going to kind of get into that a little bit as well as we talk the Capitol recap this week. We've been doing it on a regular basis, alternating GOP leadership and Democratic leadership, and it's a pleasure to welcome the GOP to the air here today. First, a big hello to Senate President Matt Regeer. Regeer, as I mentioned, out of Kalispell, 4 previous sessions, starting in 2017. Senator President Regeer, how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Montana.
Yeah, thank
great
you
to be on.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I appreciate this. I'll pick this up because I noted at the end of a debate yesterday on Medicaid expansion reauthorization, you had noted, maybe we should have this conversation about the proper role of state government. I know a lot of people are going to have different thoughts on that, and I'm sure Senator Wiley Gault will probably weigh in on that as well. Hello, Wiley. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Enjoying this nice warm-up after our little cold snap.
I just can't believe, where we're at. We're like minus 25 degrees just 2 days ago, and then we're going to be up to 50 degrees here in just a couple of days. So is the Capitol a muddy mess sometimes in the spring?
Not quite yet, but you could definitely tell we're heading into it. I think there was 6 inches of what was packed snow that's now loosening up.
Yeah.
Wait, Tom, were you talking about the parking lot or the Senate?
Yeah, there was 2 ways to answer that question, that's for sure. Thank you guys both for being here. I want to talk, as I mentioned a bit later on, Medicaid expansion, reauthorization, and it's a good place to launch into a discussion about the proper role of state government. But let's hit this water policy thing first, because, I mean, and I know Senator Wiley Gault, you're carrying a bill to kind of look at this, the Montana Environmental Policy Act. There are a number of roadblocks, I think, that industry feels that act puts up for them, a lot of delays, a lot of maybe over-regulation in that regard. And I think one thing for people to remember is that this act itself it's not a regulatory act. It's just a policy act. So there's no real teeth in this, but yet it seems like our Montana court tries to apply some regulations to this policy act. Let's start with Wiley, Senator Gault, Senate District 39. What are your I know you've got previous sessions as well, 2013, 17, 19, 21. Thank you both for your public service. Give us the 411. Pardon
me. A lot of this has started with the health case in the Supreme Court ruling on that just before we came in, which I've joked a few times, it would be really nice if they give us a little more lead time before, they made the decision before we started. But we hit the ground running. I just went around and got the bill package, and we're up to 5 bills that kind of just deal with that decision alone. And you're correct. The main, kind of line through them all is making clear that MEPA is informational. It, allows the public to weigh in, but it does not have teeth that the Supreme Court made it have. And so we're just clarifying and giving, all the businesses from fossil fuels to, infrastructure, the certainty they have that they can move forward and we can get, the economic drivers of Montana back online and moving forward on a path that they understand.
What do you think are going to be, and I'll ask you, Senate President Regeer, what do you think are going to be the difficulties, and then we'll get into this bill a little bit, but what do you think will be the difficulties in trying to move this forward? Now, I've talked about the will at our U.S. Congress not being there for changes to the Endangered Species Act or the environmental, the EPA and things like that. How do you move this one forward?
Yeah, I think the main obstacle and what we're seeing here is the radical environmentalists that don't want to look at just logical data. They want to be activists, use the courts to actually shut down good policy. And I defer to Senator Galt on that, too. I mean, he was in the hearings and knows the exact opposition.
Yeah. And Senator, go ahead and get into this. I mean, what are you trying to change with this bill or these set of bills, so to speak, that you think you can get across the finish line?
Yeah, and I know we came in with the thought process being is that we need to be legally defensible as well. So we have done our due diligence to make sure that these will stand up to the scrutiny of the court as best as we can figure. I mean, we are a citizen legislature. I'm not a lawyer, but we have some lawyers around here who, you know, have been checking us the whole way, but a lot of them is, I mean, if you go to House Bill 291 by Representative Oblander, it's just but making sure that the DEQ doesn't put more stringent, regulations than the EPA does. So we can't go above and beyond what the nationwide is happening, which, you know, again, is the certainty, as you said, that the EPA isn't moving much. So we kind of have a pretty good target we can aim there. And then more into mine, which kind of plays off what President Regeer was saying, is it kind of lays out the process for me, but in the public comment side. And it says that if you're not there at the beginning for the public comment, that you can't weigh in, can't say anything, and then be an activist that parachutes in at the last minute and ties everything up in court. That if you're going to fight this, you have to come in at step one and, you know, have your voice heard, and not just be problematic tying it up in the court.
Is that defensible?
We are sure hoping so. I mean, as we all know, our Supreme Court has shocked us. And yeah. I feel like that's what I've been doing most this session between this case and some of the Horse Creek Hills case that it didn't quite make it to the Supreme Court, but district court decided on. There's a lot of our natural resources and what we can do that keeps getting held up in the court. So I know we've been looking at through the lens to be, can this hold up in court and can we move forward with development?
How much in there addresses greenhouse gas emissions? And because there is a lot unknown about that. And I think that's the big trouble with trying to move forward, even not just with this policy, but any kind of environmental policy versus energy policy is the uncertainty of our warming, actually.
Yeah, and that is in my bill, Senate Bill 221. We lay out the greenhouse gases in it. And then we also say that you can only look at that activity you're doing. So, a coal mine is a good example. So we are just going to look at the greenhouse gas. If it's a coal mine, it's only the mining process. So you can't pull in, who knows where if the coal goes over to China and is burnt, that doesn't come into the MEPA review. So you can't use downstream, upstream, or anything. You have to look at just the activity, puts on the sideboards of the greenhouse gases you can look at. And again, it says it's only informational. So you can't use that information, turn it around, and use it to deny a permit.
And I think I'd like to have you comment, too, because that is what the Supreme Court requested, I think, of the legislature in their ruling that the Held versus Montana case. They said, look, we feel that this legislation does not provide for a clean and healthful environment. But I think they pulled back from maybe engaging too much in that. So I suppose you're trying to weigh through this. Give us a little more of your thought on that. And I'll ask you the same thing, Senator Regeer, as well, of what you think the Supreme Court was signaling in that decision for the legislature to do.
Yeah, I think the main thing is that I hope we're hitting it, is that, they told us to look at the environmental impact And then that's exactly what these builds do. They look at it, and then they give us the certainty of how to move forward through it and not just tie up, you know, the economic drivers of this state, because we are a natural resource energy producing state. And, you know, these businesses are what keep this state alive.
You know, and Senator Regeer, it might be a good time to even begin that discussion a little bit about the proper role of government, because we see that the government has a role in regulation, but if that role is misused, then you get over-regulation, then you have those delays, and then you have litigation risks, and you have regulatory overlap and things like that. So just your comments on being able to accomplish this with what we're facing right now.
Yeah, and that, you know, started that conversation with the role of government, and that's what happened here with the Held decision. I think the kids there that filed that lawsuit were more looking for how to shut things down, and that's the exact opposite of what we're doing here in state government in response to that Supreme Court decision of how can we keep business going, as Senator Galt said, of make it, they said we need analysis. Okay, we're going to get an analysis, but we're not going to let that paralyze the businesses of Montana, especially, as Senator Galt said, we're a very heavy natural resource state. We're the treasure state for a reason. That's our nickname, because we do have a lot of treasure just in the ground here in Montana. So that's what we're really looking to do with all these bills is, to me, the proper role of government is making sure the people of Montana have opportunity. And that is exactly why we've got these bills cruising through.
That's a good word. We'll circle back on that. When we lost a lot of, and it was because of radical environmentalization and the courts picking up on that. We've known it's been an industry for a lot of years now, and it's a multi-billion-dollar global industry. When Montana lost that resource ability, so to speak, I think we lost a lot of prosperity, and we ended up at the bottom of prosperity for states. Engaging the environmental community in this has been part of that, and I'm going to ask both of you guys, but I'll just get first Wiley, Senator Galt, your impressions on this. Is the environmental community, I think they're fracturing a little bit. I think they're recognizing that they're off track with some of their agenda items and have become more of, again, a business. And are you seeing that? Are you seeing the environmental community looking to maybe pull back a little bit and engage instead of, I think, like you noted, they don't engage in any kind of the prior process. They just wait to launch on things in court. And that's not collaboration. That's not good government.
No, I mean, it is just, I feel when they're dropping in, they're just trying to weaponize the courts, weaponize this to, I mean, and let's be honest, every time these goes in front of the court, it's business that pays the price. And the time it takes them, you know, the lawyers' fees and all of that, it just makes all of these projects that much more expensive, which, you know, all of that just gets passed down to the end user. So, you know, this will help certainty in the state, bring down prices, help energy. And, I mean, the proponents that we've had on these have been out the door from, you know, all of the business that's involved, the unions. I believe every one of these bills at this moment have been bipartisan bills that have moved through the process as well.
Have you engaged with or attempted to engage with any in the environmental community prior to, and we're talking Senate Bill 221, but there's others out there. Are they approaching you at all?
Not much at the moment, besides, you know, seeing them in the hearing and them just saying how bad this is going to be there for the environment and state, which, you know, we can just agree to disagree on that outlook on these bills.
Yeah. Senator Regeer, you know, I'm hopeful. I want, and I ask environmentalists when they come on the air, and it's not all that frequently, but I ask them about this. You know, are you on your agenda? And what is your response? Do you feel like I'm hopeful, I guess, that there's some recognition by that community that, you know, they need to play along with the rest of us and not just lead in one direction.
Yeah, and it goes to a lot of intent. I mean, there's a lot of different groups out there, environmental groups, think from, I mean, anywhere from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation to, I mean, you name it, they're out there with all different agendas and intents. And some of them, I do believe, come in and, yeah, they want to, I mean, just like us, I don't know, I won't speak for Senator Galt, but we want to protect our environment, sure, and keep it clean, but we also want to be productive, and we can do that now, for sure. So what is the intent? Is the environmental group X, whatever, is their intent just to come in and shut things down? And you find that there are those obstructionist groups that's the bottom line, their intent. They're not going to back off of that. It's not even about finding a solution. It's not about moving things forward. It's not about keeping Montana open. It's about just shutting it down. And that's what we're up against here with some of these. And I think we're on a track here of fulfilling what we need to fulfill to keep Montana open and still keep Montana a fun outdoor recreational state that we are.
Yeah, and I believe we can have them both. I mean, we can be prosperous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a one or the other sort of thing. So, again, you know, that's my hope is that community is engaging and policing themselves a little bit to be more productive toward their agenda. We'll take a break and come on back. Got a lot of things to pick up on. I don't think we're done with this water discussion here. I know there was a move by the land board earlier this week that has caused some controversy. We'll talk about that a little bit too. We got a question from Skip. We'll talk about Medicaid reauthorization and then also the proper role of government. Matt Regeer is with us and also Senator Wiley Galt here on Voices of Montana. It's Capital Recap, GOP edition, the More Power Hour. This week with Montana State Senate President Matt Regeer, Senate District 5 out of Kalispell, a veteran of four previous sessions. Same for Senator Wiley Galt, Senate District 39 out of Martinsdale, a rancher and small business owner. Skip and Hamilton, stand by. We'll get to Medicaid reauthorization here in just a little bit. And thank you both again for being here. I want to go back into this water discussion because, you know, there's been some comments coming out from members of the land board this week earlier where they made a decision, and I don't have it in front of me, but essentially there's a case in front of them where the DNRC, needs to, well, I'll have you explain it, Senator Galt, because I think that's part of the whole water discussion here. I'll have you explain it probably better than I can, but it involves a case in Gallatin County where the DNRC is claiming that they have rights, water rights to a private well that was used on state land. Senator Galt, go ahead and go into that for us and talk about maybe the dynamics and the fallout from that.
Yeah, and I think I'll keep it pretty high so that we're not talking about one case, but just kind of in general what can happen is, you know, as a rancher as myself who leases state land, I mean, we treat it as our own. We want to make sure it's productive. We get the most use out of it, which in turn is going to help the state so that if, you know, we can go through the legwork to expand place of use that goes on the state land to put water on that state land, either flood irrigating, stock tanks, to make it more productive, it helps everyone. It's a win-win. So the landowner is going to get more use out of it and the state's going to get more money for it. And I feel like this has kind of came up until 2019. You never really heard about this to where the state is coming in and then going, well, you're using that on state land. So now we're going to put our name on it. And with water being complicated, it's kind of hard to get, you know, Joe Montana to understand it. So the example I started using is if the state owned a building and was leasing it, and someone comes in, they want to open a bar. They go through all the process, get the liquor license. It would be the same as the state coming in and going, you know what? Our name needs to be on that liquor license. So now we can take a percentage of your profits off of it. And to me, that's a step over private property rights. It's a thing that we need to do through the state for business. And that them coming in and taking it afterwards, just it feels like a takings in my book.
And some land board members would argue that they're required because of the language for state land use to, you know, it's beneficial use for education and for the people of Montana. Do you see that? And if you do see that, is that something that can be changed?
Yeah. After I heard that argument, I spent some time with the Constitution and read through it. And they kept claiming fiduciary rights. And I looked through the Constitution, and I didn't see a fiduciary right in there. But what I did see a lot was private property rights and water rights. And also right below that, I also saw a right to know in our Constitution. So in my pecking order, I believe the fiduciary right is at the very bottom of those other two rights.
Understood. And Senator Regeer, Senate President Regeer, your thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, and I'll just add on that, too. Like, even you do want DNRC to make money on the state lands for taxpayers, but this is when you start taking private property like this, that's even if you wanted to go down that argument road of there's not going to be anybody that's going to lease state land anymore if they're going to take your water to do it. So that, I mean, that's going to hurt the value of even being able to lease for DNRC to be able to lease state land in the future. So to me, it's I see negative at every turn there on what the department has done.
It might be a short-term benefit, but may not be a long-term benefit. So again, this goes back to the role of government. How do you determine, you know, what course to take if it's short-term versus long-term benefit, and the Constitution speaks one way? Senator Regeer.
Yeah, it's I think back again to that overarching question of what's mm-hmm. the role of state government, and state government's there to serve the people and serve the people as a whole. It's not about just making sure a department of here at government is well funded. That's not the number one. And this is what I've said in a lot of speeches too. Of I think especially this session, there's some great senators up here, speaking senators, that really have a focus on the people of Montana, Montana families, Montana taxpayers, that they're coming first and the state government is coming second. And I think this is a classic case of where I think some people that have been here maybe a little bit too long are getting focused on how do we keep government whole instead of Montanans whole. And so that's where I'm excited to see Senator Galt diving into this and standing up for the people of Montana first, and government. Then government should be getting the scraps, and the people should be eating the fat steaks.
Yeah,
first.
Like you said earlier, the government should be it's not a for-profit kind of business. Let's take this call real quick. I know, Skip, I've got you toward the end of the break here, and I know you want to ask the question. So roll ahead, Skip in Hamilton, KLYQ. You're on the air here on Voices with Senators Matt Regeer and Wiley Galt.
Oh, thank you, Tom. And honest to God, I've learned so much in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
Just listening to especially Senator Galt, who I've never heard before. I appreciate his deep dives into the environmental issues. And then also his comparison of the legislation to what I call the Rugrat decision. And he's unfolded the whole thing so we can understand it better. But I wanted to just ask, because it's nebulous on the news, having to do with Medicaid expansion, where does the 245 and the 230 bill, I think that's what they are, and I think what separates those is work requirement, is my guess. Could you tell us where that stands right now in the Senate? And I'll just leave it at that. And thank you, Tom, for bringing up these issues on your program.
Hey,
have a great day.
Skip, I appreciate you listening. And that sets the stage. We'll come on back after the break. It is Capital Recap, the More Power Hour with Senators Matt Regeer and Wiley Galt today on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Warming up for the weekend. I hope your plans will be warm and very welcoming. And a charitable weekend ahead for you, I hope. Tom Schultz alongside again. Thanks for being here. It is two decades strong, working on three, and from Montana for Montana Capital Recap this week on Fridays, the GOP edition. Leadership from the Senate. Senate President Matt Regeer is with us, Senate District 5 out of Kalispell, and also Wiley Galt, Senator out of Martinsdale, Senate District 39. Thank you guys both for being here. Skip kind of launched us into this, and we'll talk about the proper role of government and then how you keep it in its proper role, so to speak. But let's catch up to date on Medicaid reauthorization. I know the one bill that's really the vehicle for carrying it forward is House Bill 245 from Ed Buttrey, passed the House. I think it was 63-37. And an hour of debate plus on the floor. You guys had a lot of bills to go through. It managed a 29-21 approval yesterday. So, and then I think the that bill is the one that's going forward, but I think it's put into a committee. So Senator Matt Regeer, as Senate President as well, let's talk about the update on Medicaid reauthorization and then how you feel it is or it isn't a proper program for the role of government.
You do a great job there of summing up where it sits. Passed the Senate floor yesterday, and then anything with a fiscal note gets sent down to Finance and Claims. So Finance and Claims is going to have a hearing on that coming up and talk about the money, and then it'll come back to the Senate floor for approval after that. So it's pretty close to the finish line after that, and then it would go to the governor's desk, and it looks like there's the votes to get it to the governor and see what the governor does. The governor did put the money in House Bill 2 and its proposed budget, so which I don't think is the best way to do it. I think the money should be with the bill, but that's a whole nother topic to talk about. The high level of Medicaid expansion, I just want to give the overarching view here. We have, this is expansion. We've got Medicaid traditional, and Medicaid traditional in Montana is $2.5 billion. That's just for traditional Medicaid. That's disabled, truly a safety net, if you will say. Yeah. Medicaid expansion costs another $1 billion. So we're at $3.5 billion a year for traditional and expansion in a $10 billion a year budget. So a third of our budget is going to just the Medicaid programs here in Montana. So that's kind of the overarching numbers, dollars, if you will, of these programs. And so that balances me. I've got a lot of other things of why I don't think it's best for Montana. But to bounce down to the bottom of that list is what to the question of what's government's role, and is a third of our budget to provide health care for Montanans? And when does a safety net just turn into a lifestyle? I think these are some of the questions that we as a state, or any government, whether it's local, state, or feds, need to ask of what's our role and what's best for the people of Montana.
And that's a question, you know, as much as there's policy, and I like to focus on policy, but there's also philosophy when it comes to governance. And there's a lot of different forms of governance out there. I think the United States has got it right, a constitution, a representative republic, but a safety net, right? People are going to define that in many different ways. I always look at the values that you're trying to incorporate into your government, so to speak, and then the priorities that you set for that. So we have money for some of those priorities, but if those things get spread out so far and we're just feeding everybody off the public trough, it doesn't become sustainable in a lot of ways. How do people embrace that? How do people feel that there is a line that government needs to draw? And then can they hold to that line?
Well, just the line of scarcity of resources, right? We don't have unlimited tax dollars. So you have to, at some point, just say we can't afford it, even if it is a good program, right? But what baffles me a little bit on any safety net or welfare program is that some people approach it, actually a lot of legislators and even the public seem to approach it as the more people that are on it, the better the program is. And for me, that's not even I'm the exact opposite of a good hand up would be help somebody through a hard time, a safety net to get them back on their feet so they can be self-sufficient. I mean, I think it'd be great if a program ran out of a use, whatever the program is, that Montanans all of a sudden were so self-sufficient they didn't need whatever X program was, safety net program to help them out. So to me, that's how I value what is, or analyze what is a good welfare program, is how many people can we get self-sufficient and off of the taxpayer's dime to stand on their own 2 feet. So it's a different way of looking at it. Back to the premise of what's the role of state government? Is it here just to throw as much money as we can at whatever issue we've got coming, or is it actually what's best for the people of Montana?
I'm going to throw this to you, Senator Gault, as well, your comments on it, because I don't think anybody gets into the arena of public service without evaluating that question. You know, what my purpose here? What am I to accomplish within this proper role? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think that you can look at that vote, and all of the no votes up there aren't saying that we don't need a safety net, that we don't need to help someone through these times. It's just, and it's complicated because we're also playing in the sandbox that the feds are putting us in as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a moving landscape. And with Trump coming in, I mean, that landscape could really start moving here pretty quick. So I know a lot of us are just thinking, like, you know, should we wait to see what Medicaid expansion looks like after the Trump administration has had some time with it?
Well, and that was one of the things that Senator Glimm had talked about as well. Right now, the expansion is a 10 to 90% federal match on that. And that started with the Obamacare, I think, in 2015. If that goes away, we're still on the hook for that. And it's, I'm not sure, they talk about it being a penny-wise program, but that's $3.5 billion to essentially insure roughly, what is it, almost 200,000 Montanans. That's a large number. And if 200,000 Montanans need help from the government, then there's probably something else wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, now to go into the details of Medicaid expansions, and you brought them up, about 200,000. I mean, you're looking about 17,000 per enrollee of taxpayer money that we're spending just here in Montana just for Medicaid. We're not even talking SNAP or WIC or any of the other safety net programs that we've got. So it's a lot of money we're spending per person. The money that the state gets to match there, because it's 90-10, like you said, a lot of that is paid by private pay. We tax a bed tax on private pay. We have a 1% outpatient tax, about $60 million a year. Private pay health costs are going up about $60 million a year here in Montana just to pay for Medicaid expansion. Medicaid expansion also funds abortions at 100% of taxpayer because the Hyde Amendment at the federal level won't pay gender dysphoria treatment Medicaid expansion pays for. We've seen since Medicaid expansion went in, we've seen the healthcare costs go up here in Montana and lower quality outcomes have gone down. That's from medicaleconomics.com. We have also, you know, the big thing too is to come back to the people that we serve. In 2018, this was on the ballot. I mean, we took a poll of Montana. It was on the ballot as an initiative of, do you want to keep Medicaid going or not? And the people voted it down in 2018. So, those are just some high-level talking points of why I don't think, once again, the role of government, what is best, and these are some things that you got to take a look at and go, man, is this program really serving the people for the cost that it costs the taxpayers?
Yeah, and I know there are examples out there where it changes people's behavior, and then they look to the government. They depend on the government. Of course, there's a whole concept out there about that government dependency and what you're sacrificing your freedoms in that regard. So this is part of this discussion as well. How do you, and I want to throw in there as well, I think our economy is not as good as people think it is. I think there are a lot of people suffering. And so there's probably other issues that we need to deal with. But this Medicaid expansion reauthorization is probably vital to a lot of them. We're not saying that's not the case. How do you keep government? And this is going to be my last question. Now you guys have to go. How do you keep government in its proper role?
I think you elect good guys.
Yeah.
Down at the bottom. I mean, really, truly, and joke about that. But I love our Montana Constitution, Article 2, and I love this quote. I use it a lot, but it says that all political power is vested and derived from the people. And that's really when you step back from this whole process and you see the personalities. We got 50 senators and 100 reps and one governor that come in with different personalities, different constituents, and it really is a process that the people are represented here, and it's a pretty good reflection of the people of Montana. So if the people of Montana want to see something different, elections are the place to do it.
And I know you noted that at the end of debate yesterday, talking about the proper role, and everybody made election promises, so to speak, or you're just being truthful about your representation, and I appreciated how you said, you know, vote how you feel that your constituents want and how you address them in that regard. And And that I appreciate, right? I mean, this is...
Yeah. There's, you know, good guys here and colleagues of mine in my caucus here that went out and campaigned and said, Medicaid expansion is best for my district. This is the way I'm going to vote if you guys elect me. And I expect them to come here and fulfill those promises the same way I did. I went, my district voted against it. I said, hey, guys, I heard that. I'm campaigning on I won't expand that welfare program. I'll vote against it. So I need to follow through on my campaign promises, too. I think it's we get in trouble when we say one thing on the campaign trail and then you come out and doing something totally different.
I think Senator Dennis Lenz, who was on a few weeks ago, had said it yesterday in that debate. You know, there was an opportunity. This vote was kind of locked in. You know, it just reauthorized the money and don't kind of change things. And I think he lamented the fact that there were some other ideas out there that were probably worth debating, but they didn't get that opportunity, I guess, which can happen in politics as well. Sad about that, too.
Yeah, but and that is a good point. It's I get it. Some stuff gets baked in November, December before we even swear in. And I understand that and some of the process, but I don't like it. I still want to come. I'm maybe too much of a purist here to say I think ideas should all be presented to the committees. The committee should vet them. Take it to the chamber. Let's let the legislature decide the laws. That's our title. We legislate. That's what we do. So I just don't like the notion that stuff is baked. There should be able to have a conversation, even if you had a coalition in December. The new guys come in. We should all get a vote on that.
Senator DeGault, I'm going to have you comment here on the past few minutes.
It is. How long have we been doing this? Since 2013, I think we started the Medicaid expansion. I've been through this bill a lot, and you know, I feel like we've made some right steps. We got work requirements in it. It does say in there that if we switch from the 90-10, we get to come back. So there is a chance that if Trump shifts that landscape, what we might be sitting back in this building this summer, you know, talking about this all over again.
I got 1 minute here. What else is on the plate, Senator Regeer, Senate President? What do you think people need to kind of cue into over the next few weeks?
Yeah, we're just starting to vote subcommittees on House Bill 2, which is the entire budget. Not entire budget, I mean, there's some cat and dog bills, but the huge part of state government budget is just starting to get voted on here in subcommittee. So I'm real excited, especially at the federal level with Elon Musk and Doge and how they're finding the efficiencies and the cutting out the inefficiencies. So keep your eyes, Montana, on the budget as it starts to come together and what efficiencies we as the Republican majority can find.
Yeah. Keep your eyes, but shield your ears, too, because I think you're going to hear a lot of hysteria out there. It's not easy to cut spending. It's just not going to be easy. And I think people will try to use that to their advantage in some ways.
Right. It does take a backbone to stand up and say, hey, this is unneeded, because there's always one or two or three people that that would say otherwise. But you got to look at the whole of the state.
Thank you guys both for your public service. I appreciate the time you spend here as well. It keeps this audience in the state of Montana informed. I know that you guys are doing some GOP interviews on YouTube, so people look to that as well. And don't ever forget, you can access those sessions, legmt.gov, and it's all there in public viewing. Senator Matt Regeer and Senator Wiley Gull, thank you guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Tom. You too.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.